Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. We are your hosts, Amy Ravel and Kirsty Fruger. And today we have a third mic. We have Maz Compton, who puts our podcasting efforts to shame with the amount of hours that she has spent in front of a radio and podcast mic. Maz, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Amy and Kirsty, for having me. I love what you guys do. So I'm super pumped to be on this podcast and to just literally unpack how I've unpacked my life, because I feel like you speak my language.
We certainly do, and we're so excited that you're here. So can you introduce yourself to our listeners who may not listen to Sydney radio or may not even be Australian?
Yeah, of course, because podcasts reaches far and wide. My name is Maz Compton. I started off in radio and television like 2 decades ago. That's how old I am. And I spent my whole adult life working in media, either interviewing celebrities, flying around the world for MTV, hosting awards shows and partying. And it was super fun. And I don't apologize for that story at all. So I kind of did TV in my 20s, and then when I was sort of turning 30, I was like, do I really want to be the 30-year-old chick on MTV? I don't know. And I sort of switched.
30 is so old.
Seriously, like what an idiot. And I look young. So when I was 30, I still looked 12. But anyway, so I kind of switched gears and I kind of went back to my first love of radio, and I've been dabbling in radio kind of ever since. So media personality would be one way to describe what I do. But in amongst all of that, I left media. I started a gym. I like went on a whole fitness and decluttering journey, which started in about 2016, which is kind of, I think, what leads me to you guys, really.
And I love that. So you've got F45 gyms, is that right?
Yeah. So I did have two of the gyms. Mm-hmm. I have the one in Avalon, and then we opened the one in Charm Haven, and then we had a baby, and about 3 months before I was going to bring a human into the world, I was like, I can't have two businesses and a new baby. I'm going to go crazy. So we decided to sell the Charm Haven business and just focus on the one. So we do still have F45 Avalon, which is my first baby of business, and then a real human called Henry now as well, who's nearly 2.5.
So Maz, tell us about your decluttering journey. Tell us that story. We'd love to hear.
Okay. So it's interesting, Amy, that you say that the sort of life shift and decluttering thing kind of go hand in hand, because that really is what happened for me. So if you will indulge me, can I just give you a bit more of a backstory on how I got to declutter? So working in media as a TV host, as a radio presenter, I was literally given free shit for like 15 years. I was given, and I didn't ever once complain. Like, I got designer dresses. I had a shoe wardrobe that was like something out of Clueless. It was, and I really, I was never a fashionista, but I had this thing in the back of my brain where I was like, I can never wear the same outfit twice. Cause like, what if somebody snaps me in it and puts me in the social pages? Like back in the day when we used to all read the newspaper before the internet was a thing. So this is my, and I'm only explaining this context because this was my normal. So I think that's, it's not normal to have people want to dress you and style you for red carpets and stuff, but I think it's normal that we want stuff and we want new stuff all the time because we get bored of the old stuff and we don't want to double up on the stuff. And so clothing for me, shoes was a thing. I had like a huge book collection. I'm a huge nerd and I love reading, but I'd always keep all of my books because, I don't know, I just thought that that's what we did. So when I left TV and I got into radio, and then what happens in radio is you basically get sent to a lot of different places that you don't want to live to learn how to do radio really well. And if you get good enough at it, you get to come back to Sydney or Melbourne.
Yeah, you got to do the regional shift first.
Right. But because I was on that journey, I kind of had to like pack my life up and move around a few times. So I moved in 4 years from Sydney to Adelaide, from Adelaide to Sydney, from Sydney to Melbourne and Melbourne to Sydney. And it was during those radio years that I realized like every time I pack up my house, and thank God the company is paying for the storage, but I've got a lot of stuff. So this is where the stuff thing comes in. And then it wasn't until I ultimately left radio, not by choice, like hilarious story when we look back on it, but I was fired from the Sydney.
Not at the time.
Not at the time. But I was fired from my radio job, not because I'm bad at radio, just because, I don't know, that's just something that happened. And I kind of went on this huge journey of purpose because I had this kind of identity crisis when I left radio of like, if I'm not the chick on the radio, then who am I? And like, what do I even want to do in life? And I have 6 wardrobes full of clothes that I don't even need anymore because there are no red carpets to go to when you don't have a radio job.
Yeah, so can't say that Kirsten and I do many red carpets, Mess.
Well, you don't, but how do you know that I don't, Amy?
That's where it started. It was like at the end of that first part of my huge media journey that I really sat with myself. And I looked at all that stuff and I was like, none of this fills me up. I feel empty, lost, broken, humiliated. I feel like I've failed. So like, let's just sit in that pile of crap and figure out what is the purpose of my life. And it's from there that like 2 really significant things happened. One was that I decided to go on a huge fitness journey. I quit drinking and I opened a gym, like that sort of the wellness fitness side of what I started. And then the other thing I started to look at was like, I have all of these things, but none of them helped me keep my job. None of them really mean anything. So what do they mean to me? And that was kind of like that first question I started asking myself of like, what is the point of all this stuff in my life when it's not making me a happier person? So I went on this huge journey of like self-fulfillment and feeling content. And I realized that it was not going to be from having one more shopping spree at the Iconic. It is not going to be because I get the latest smartphone. It like I kind of had that aha moment then. And
oh, that's flipping good, Maz.
That's the beginning. Like that was the day one bit. Then there's like a whole thing, as you guys would know, of like, well, then what do I do with this stuff? Mm. How do I decide what I do need? I can't just like throw all my clothes out because no one needs to see that. So I actually, I watched the Minimalist documentary.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God, those guys look so freaking chilled out. They they just like had this essence about them that I was like, I think that's what I'm in search of. So how do we get that? And I kind of, I guess I really just obsessed over the minimalists for a while. And after watching the doco and buying their book, the next sort of step for me was I did what they call it the packing party, where they're like, this was all completely against my husband's will, by the way. I just need to explain that too. But our marriage has survived decluttering. Because he was like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, we've got the space for it. What does it matter?
Why do you need to get rid of all this stuff? I'm like, you don't understand. So I did the packing party as we moved house, which was the perfect way to do it. So the packing party is where if you're not moving house, you pack all your stuff into boxes as if you're moving house, and then you take out an item every time you need it for the next 10 to 14-ish days. And then whatever's left in the boxes, which is usually 80% of your stuff, you basically don't need, and then you figure out what to do with it. So I did my sort of packing party when we literally moved house. So after a month of living in the new house, we had all of this stuff in boxes, and then I was like, oh, okay. And then shit gets real. Because then it's one thing to go, okay, this stuff isn't fulfilling me and, like, let's get rid of it and let's minimize and let's declutter. But then to walk it out and to say goodbye to some stuff is really hard, because a lot of it for me was, I'm talking about those designer dresses that literally still had the tags on. That's a part of, like, my radio success and my television career and my value and my worth. And I had to realize that my worth isn't in a designer dress that I wore for half a second on a red carpet with Channing Tatum, even though it's a great story. Yes. My worth is so much more than that. Yeah, is that a good start?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just like, mic drop. Yeah. And Maz, I wish we had known each other early. So for listeners, Maz and I connected 2 months ago. Maz had me on her podcast, and we could have talked forever.
Oh my God. Yes.
It was just delightful. I just wish that our worlds had collided in 2016, because I feel like the journey that you've been on is the journey that we want to share with our community. Like, it's what wakes us up in the morning.
Yeah.
And so I think as you're sharing, like, our community are just going, yeah, like putting another voice to it. I'm going, this is a experience that I can go through and come out of.
Yeah, and it's not like one thing, and I love sharing this sort of, I don't get to talk about this stuff on the breakfast radio show that I have, really. Like, I just don't. And it's a side to me that you kind of, I don't know, you can't, it's not like I keep it on the down low. It just doesn't really come up a lot. But when I do engage in conversation about this journey that I've been on to, like, live with more purpose and less stuff is kind of like, I guess, the philosophy behind it. I get super jazzed because I look at the transformation I've had as a human, and I look at, like, those, like you're saying, mic drop, but those mic drop moments are like real pivotal moments in my journey of life and self-awareness. And I'm like baby stepping through this too. I feel like I've only kind of just started. But some of the things that I think surprised me about me is, like, I've kind of shifted to this monochrome capsule wardrobe vibe. And it's just bizarre, because I used to think that my clothes, and I'm not dissing anyone, like, this is no judgment. This is just my story. But this is what I've noticed about myself, is I used to wear really, I used to have a feature nail and have, like, I'd call it the arm party and have like 15 bangles up my arm. And, like, I'd have these, like, things.
You could hear you before people could see you.
Totally. And I'd have these, like, I call them, it's like my pop, like, what's my fashion pop today? That was my thing. And what I've realized is, like, I'm the pop, and I just used to do that as a way of expressing something that I didn't value. I didn't think that it was me. It's something I felt like I had to show everyone. And when I, like, stripped it all back And I am literally wearing black on black on black on black with a pop of white. But I am the pop, and that there's so much more empowerment when you realize, like, I don't need to do all that stuff to show people who I am, how special my message is, how talented I am, or what I want in this life. Like, I can do it because I am who I am. The power you feel in that is like, you can only feel it when you feel it. I know, Kirsty, you have felt it, and Amy, you have felt it, because you're both nodding like, amen. Yes. And that's what I want to share with people. That's like, there's like 100 messages that I want to share, but that's such a crucial one, especially for women who get bogged down in this, like, keep up with the everyone's and buy more and have more and do more. And you're pushing all the joy out when you're filling your life with stuff. That's what I've found.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Oh my gosh, like I am fist pumping and jumping up and down inside my little booth here because I'm so excited because we are just about to relaunch our Head, Heart and Home course, which is our signature course. And in that, we write a letter to people and we say, you are the important thing. Like,
yeah,
your value is in who you were created to be, not in the things that you buy, not in, like, your uniqueness and your beauty is what will draw people to you and is what the world needs from you.
Yeah.
It is not the stuff that you accumulate. It is in your unique creation, in who you are. And we write this letter to them. And then our first step in the course is figuring out what your values are and aligning your life to your actual values, not what society is telling you you should value, not in anything but what it is that you uniquely value. And you know, if you have a family and if you've got other people who are directly impacting how your home feels and looks, like getting them on board and asking them like to create a vision for your life. So can you talk, I know that that's part of your story too. So can you talk to that as well?
Yeah, well, I think for the family thing, let's start with family because I do have one and I love them dearly. And when I kind of came to this whole idea of declutter, minimalism, however we want to define it, I remember my husband just giving me some really serious side glances, like, what's going on here, babe?
The plot.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, is this a hobby? Is this a fad? Have you joined the cult?
Yeah, yeah. And don't throw out the bread tin that I made when I was 13 years old. Holy shit, that was a mistake. So can I just tell that story? It's so funny.
Yes,
I feel like I've decluttered like every 6 months now. And there's not even like any more clutter. I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm doing. But I just feel like there's always another little cleanup. Yeah. There's a little bit more to do. There's a little bit more to do. But like at the very, very beginning, I was like, I'm just going to get rid of some stuff that I just think is just crap and it doesn't go with the aesthetic of my house. Not that I knew what the aesthetic was, but I was like, it's definitely not that. And I got, so my husband, when he, I didn't realize that he made it, it's just, you know, those bread tin, it's like a wooden timber box and the,
the
timber lid up.
Yeah, we all made in woodwork.
So he had that and I'd moved into his place and I was just like, so like, you know, step one of this whole journey is like, let's just throw out all the crap that we think is crap. I'm like, so this piece of crap, he was like, he goes, that's the, he goes, that's the only thing that I have from when before my parents got divorced. He's like, and I was like, oh, and I'm like, well, where'd you get it? And he's like, I made it in woodwork. And I was like, oh, I don't know what the minimalists are going to say about this, but I guess we can't chuck it out. So I learned really quickly to like keep my opinion to the side and just have an open conversation about how do we feel about said item over there in the corner collecting dust that we never acknowledge or look at or use, right? So I think for anyone who's like starting out on this journey, word of advice, and I learned the hard way, like you can't be all preachy about it because you have to live with people in your family and they need to feel comfortable and not afraid that you're just going to go on a mission and start chucking stuff out. And I think I went like pretty hard early on and then I realized this has to be, I need my family to be on board with this and I need them to not feel like they're going to be missing out. So it was like, I think that's why I baby stepped it as well. Cause I was like, I was having all these huge revelations, but I'm like, I don't want my husband to hate this experience or to resent me because I want to like chuck all of his junk out. It's this whole process was about me, but I also like share my entire life with another human and he's very important to me. And so I feel like it's one of those things where if we go back a few years, from where he was to where he is now, like he's come a long way and he doesn't even realize it. Like he just doesn't even, you know, he'll say stuff now like, oh, we don't even need that. Like, what do we even need that for? And I'm like, yes. Like,
Maz, what you experience with your husband is really critical for people to understand when they're decluttering with other people, because the bread box was nothing to do with where you kept your bread.
We still have it, by the way.
That's perfect.
That's fine.
That bread box actually represents a part of his life and dreams that he may have had for the future and abilities that he was developing. Like the story of the bread box has nothing to do with where are we going to keep our bread so it doesn't go stale. Nothing to do with that. And I think that that's so important for people to understand as they're going through the decluttering process themselves. And when they're walking it through with other people, like as professional organizers, we encounter that all the time. Like we'll go, oh, should we get rid of this? And they look at you like you've just asked them to put their dog down.
Yes.
Like I don't know what landmine I just stepped on, but clearly we're not getting rid of this thing.
Yeah. Do you know the another big one that I'll share is so when we moved, so we bought our first home last year, which is like, freaking the best thing ever. I'm so stoked for us.
Congratulations.
Thanks. That's awesome. I'm like really, really, I've never owned a home.
Yeah.
So like I've never been able to nail nails into the wall and hang pictures. I've always had to use those stupid 3M sticky tabs. But anyway, there's not heaps of stuff on our walls, but the stuff on there is like permanently on there and it's awesome. But when we did this move, knowing that this would probably be our last move for a while, because this is my son's childhood home, I did another packing party scenario and we had a bookcase in our old apartment. And I was like, I said to my husband, I'm like, how do you feel about books? And he's like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, this is how I'm feeling about books. I have so many of them. I've read them all. They're great. 90% of them, I don't need or want, I don't have any sentimental attachment to. And I feel like if I gave these books to other people, it would bless them more than it would having this like brag shrine of books on another piece of furniture, taking up a bit more space in the house. And I was like, what if we did this? I said, we both get a box. You keep all the books that you want to keep in that box. I'll keep the books that I want to keep all of my books. I can tell you exactly what's in the box. Everything by Brené Brown, everything by Oprah Winfrey, everything by Maya Angelou. That's about it. And I said, let's keep the ones that we want to hang on to and give every other book away. And the deal is we say to the people we give the books to, once you're done with it, you have to give it to someone else. It's not allowed to stay on a bookshelf. We'll call it like the universal
traveling book.
The traveling book. So we did it. And in the new house, those two boxes of books are in a wardrobe, and they those boxes have not been opened, but we have no bookshelf and I haven't stopped reading. And so that was a big one, because I was like, I felt like the books, it was like my way of showing everyone how smart I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, don't you just love, oh, and I kept my recipe books too, and they are on, I have this like this little square coffee table with a little hutch, and my recipe books are just in the hutch. They're just there. So they're hidden away, but because I do like to cook a lot and bake. So the recipe books I did keep there, but the books in the boxes haven't been touched.
Mm.
And I still, that's what I was saying. I felt like the bookshelf was like this visual representation of like, I'm so intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need that acknowledgement from anyone anymore.
Totally.
But it took me ages to like get to that point where I was like, I don't need everyone to know how many goddamn books I've read. Like,
And the books don't mean that I give better advice. The books don't mean I'm wiser. Like the advice I can give and the like we similar story. Like we gave away 700 of our books when we moved house, and that's 700 of our books. So I now probably, I can count them. I have six books. I own six books, and they're sitting right near me. My husband still has a bookshelf in his office, but that's up to him.
It's but his office. It's
correct. It's about knowing what you and Kirst said before. It's your value is not based on the fact that I read a book and therefore I'm a better human.
Yeah, and I think too, for me, like, I was, because it took me ages to, I know I'm saying like, oh, I did this and I did this and I packed up my house and I threw myself. It's like weeks. I was like weeks on the bookshelf, like sitting in front of the bookshelf, walking past the bookshelf, like alphabetizing, color coding, working out how to make it fit right in my life still, knowing that I just felt like there wasn't room for it. It wasn't necessary for it to exist physically there. And I did also think like, these books just gathering dust on this shelf are not impacting anyone's life in a positive way. And so I'm like, it's going to actually make a difference. So instead of me talking about whatever book I read and how transformative it was and like, it's amazing and you should read it. And then it's like the Michelle Obama book, but it is, it's freaking amazing. And then watch the documentary and then read another one of her books and then listen to her podcast and she's the freaking best.
Yeah.
But that book sitting on my shelf wasn't changing anyone's life after mine had been changed. So I was like, oh, my God, if I give it to someone, there actually is like, again, that's empowerment. That's helping. That's sharing. That's what books are supposed to do, right? So that was a huge one for me because I am a massive nerd and I love reading and I loved having this like, I don't know, like this tally of how smart I am in front of me is a constant reminder of like, ooh, look at all those books I've read. But then I was like, I don't need that. I'm kind of okay. So that was another pretty big one. So there's no bookshelf in the new house.
Very good.
And I think you've just really clearly identified two different aspects of the decluttering. It's like, well, you've uncovered your why. Why was I keeping them? Oh, and for you, it was so that you could, for lack of a better way of putting it, show off and
100%
be known as the bookworm that you are. But then you've also identified how you have been able to let go of the books. Your mindset was, okay, I'm going to think about the other people, like the consequences of letting this go. And I think that that's so helpful for our listeners to hear that it wasn't just about, oh, now I've identified that I don't need these books. It's or that this is a reason why I was keeping these books. So yeah, you can let them go, but you also attached meaning to the letting go.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that I'm not getting new books either. Like I still for Christmas, like my gift list suggestions for Maz Compton is just a bunch of nerdy psychology books. But once I'm get, like if I'm, you know, I have a couple on the go at the moment, but once I'm done, I'm like, I'm handing it over because I want it, like, I don't know, it's like this whole continuum. It's like, mm-hmm. let's keep that learning continuum going. The continuum stops if I'm just holding on to my
thing. You have the ability to draw a line in the sand of that book's influence, that particular physical copy, that influence line in the sand. Or you can say, go forever. Go and get past the stains and be in backpackers and go to best friends. And, like, that's the beauty of it.
It's like, did you guys ever watch that movie Serendipity?
Yes.
No.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe, and I don't remember.
Amy doesn't remember movies very well.
Not very well. I could watch it today and tomorrow I don't remember that I watched
it. Oh, right. Okay. I feel like you'd love it, but it is this idea. I won't wreck it for anyone, but it's just a cool.
It's really old.
I'm writing it on my list.
So John Cusack, so young, like baby-faced John Cusack. But it's a really beautiful reminder of, like, when you let things go out there, that it's not just going into the cosmos and has no meaning. And sometimes they come back and you just never know the story that that's going to tell by putting it out there.
And I, like Amy mentioned it months ago in a podcast or in a, I can't remember when she mentioned it, but I have, it has stuck with me, is that we retain the information. Like if it's important to us, we retain it. Having a physical reminder of something doesn't mean that it's not somewhere in our amazing, amazing brain.
That's right.
And that's not true for everybody. Clearly, Amy forgets the movies that she watches, but then it's not important. And I like reminding my clients that if it is important to them, their brain will find it again. And there's a whole thing called Google out there that we can find that information. That's so, so different from even when we were growing up. You know, we had to go to encyclopedias and you may not be able to find something on
country
that has just been created. But now we have access to so much knowledge and wisdom and information that if you need to find information again, there's usually, for most things, a way to find that information.
That's right.
So I just hold on to that as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to make you wait.
Dun, dun, dun. Sorry.
For the second half of Maz's story, because I don't want you to miss out. And I know that if an episode goes for too long, you guys are going to forget to come back to it. And I do not want you to miss a second of what Maz has to say. So this has been awesome. It hasn't finished. We will be back in your ears next week with part two with Maz. Kirst, let's not even do a review for this episode. Let's just say we love you guys and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, ciao.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.